has two choices, or we have two choices. One, either that we put a certain amount of these capital projects before the voters for approval, and it may be as much as $200 million, or the governor vetoes that much. And I'm just wondering if you and your caucus members have considered that and have decided which projects he should veto to reduce down so we're not breaking the spending limit.
I'm going to call on Jay Hogan to come up here and answer that particular question. I don't think that the spending level that we have today is over the spending plan. I think it's below it. The house has come down. I think if you look at that particular lot, it says at least a third of that may use for capital and loans. And I would have Jay Hogan from OMB here respond to that particular question.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jay Hogan, Director of Budget Review. Not having the bills in front of me, I'm a little bit at a loss as to what all is in this substitute, but assuming the chairman's mathematics is correct, we would say that we're probably right at the governor's spending limit. I think Representative Duncan, you're quite correct that if by chance the numbers do go over the spending limit, then the governor would be forced to reduce at least to that level. As far as the capital is concerned, I believe the language reads that it is not less than a third capital.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask Mr. Hogan a question?
Yes.
Jay, I don't mean to be putting you on the spot because you didn't write this memo. However, I would hope the OMB is, between your various associate directors, you talk to each other.
Yes, sir.
I have a memo of May 29th, 1984, from Gordon Harrison to Mr. Hayes that says, in no uncertain terms, and I'll read the paragraph, it says, from the foregoing information, it appears the FY85 limit $3,051,000,000 set by House Bill 524, which is a bill that has not passed the Senate. Currently in Senate, Judiciary Committee would require that $334.5 million of capital appropriations be submitted to the voters for approval. So we're over the spending limit on capital appropriations if we use 524.
Yes.
Even if we use the governor's definition of the spending limit, and I've also checked this with Mr. Harrison in your office, my staff went over these numbers with him. Under the governor's spending limit, the total allowed to be spent is $3.654 billion. The total that we're appropriating, and it's a floating total, but a day ago, before House Bill 190 was increased by the additional $100 million, the total we were appropriating was about $3.4 billion, so on total dollars we were under. However, I don't think there's any quarrel that if you break that down, according to what the spending limit says, that we're only allowed to appropriate, according to the governor's limit, $1.217 billion in capital projects, and we're appropriating almost $1.4 billion or higher. And OMB, these people run by them, they agree with that. It appears to me that it puts us in a position of not being right on the limit, but under the limit totally, but over it on capital. And that means that either the governor has to veto or projects have to be put on the ballot.
I think the question should be at Adam that what is capital and what is loans? I think if you're saying 1.4, that's a total between capital and loans. There is $152.5 million for loans, another $210, which is the four dam pools, which is a loan, that can go to $360 million. If you subtract that from your $1,400, $1.4 million, you'd have $1.1 in capital projects. I think perhaps Jay can respond to that.
Mr. Chairman, we treated, in our analysis, we treated loans, I believe, as capital. And again, I would repeat that my understanding of the language is that it says not less than a third capital. It doesn't require that the spending limit doesn't require that it be precisely a third. The requirement to go to the voters is there if the spending limit is exceeded, and it is presumed that they would be capital projects packaged in some sort of a bill that would cover the amount appropriated in excess of the spending limit.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to debate this any longer because, of course, I think the question is being pretty well debated. But, and I don't mean that in any disrespect, Mr. Hogan, because I realize it's a tough spot to be in. But I think I just want to make it clear for the record and for members of this committee that it's clear that what I tried to point out on the floor the other day still holds true. And I know we're going to quarrel over numbers, and I respect the fact that you have different numbers, and we'll use those. But it's clear that we're appropriating every dime we've got, and it's clear in addition to doing that, that we're ignoring the spending limit and we're breaking the spending limit, and if it's going to be followed as constitutional mandates, the governor's either going to have to veto or some mechanism is going to be have to use to put some of these projects on the ballot. Now, it doesn't bother me that the governor veto a whole lot of these projects because I think he should. I think they're spending too much. But I want to make that clear to the members of this committee that projects they have in these bills, which they feel are important, they may lose just because we're spending a whole lot more money than is available.
I think the finance and also the administration will agree that we are not beyond the spending limit that you have drawn there for members here. I think I'll ask Mr. Hogan to respond on that.
Chairman, I'm going to kind of try to walk a line here. I think I need some time to total this up to see exactly what it arrives at for ourselves. We have a list that we have been using, but it has been rendered a shambles by this presentation, and that many things that we had separately placed are now all rolled into one. So it's a little hard for me to respond at this time to that question.
Representative Lindauer?
Yep. Question. Given that you're holding the job that you're holding, and given the fact that we are confronted with a bill that at least some members believe exceeds the prudent spending of the state, where does the administration recommend that we make these cuts? Does the administration have any idea where reductions ought to be made?
Mr. Chairman, the bill as presented here tonight, the committee substitute, has loan packages, it has a relatively new list of capital projects, some of which have been reviewed, some of which have not. It has a collection of supplemental appropriations that have been in since early February, and it has a collection of reappropriations and transfers. I think that some of the items in this new bill are quite well known to people on both sides. I think a great many of the items in the bill are not are certainly not known to the executive side at this time. So we are at a disadvantage to go through the bill at this time and give you a readout on that, since we do not really have much information on a great number of the projects that are in this bill.
Any further questions,
Chairman?
Did you finish?
Yeah, I was going to follow up on that. You said most of these things have been around for some time, or you identified some. Are any of those, are all those generally acceptable, or are you going to recommend that some of those that have been around for some many months be cut? I'd like to know which ones you recommend to be cut.
Mr. Chairman, as we did when the first seven capital bills came before us, we took a long, hard look at each of the bills, project by project. Then when the bill came up with the parts that had been rejected from the prior bills, we took another long, hard look at that. Some that hadn't made it the first time around made it the second time around. I really can't speak, Mr. Chairman, to the governor on which projects he would recommend for veto, or if he would veto at this time.
You mean the governor doesn't have any list of bill of appropriations he wants and so forth that we could compare to see if they're in the state's policy and interest? Does the governor have a policy or plans for state capital investment that we could, a list somewhere after all these months that we could look at and say that this is what he wants? Could you share that with us, maybe?
Mr. Chairman, a great number of the bills, the items that the governor is interested in have happily found their way into this bill. As I mentioned, he has introduced some supplemental appropriations. They are in here. The request for loan program funding, they are in here. Many of the governor's recently requested capital projects are in here.
Do you have a list of what the governor wants? I've been here for a long time, so I'm still waiting for a list. I'd like to get some inkling that the governor wants something. Share a list with us, pass it around or something.
Well, I don't have a complete list of...
Can you give us a partial list?
I think probably I could certainly go downstairs and get a list, but again, this is how many sections long, Mr. Chairman?
I'm interested in your list. I'm not interested in our list. I'd like to know if the governor, in fact, has a list of capital projects that fit into his plan, if he has a plan, or his program, if he has a program. I would like to know what it is. Before we wind up the legislature after 2 years, it would be nice to think that there was at least some thought about the future sometime.
Mr. Chairman, I think the governor has repeatedly stated his general concerns. One of his concerns was, what are we going to do about the Alaska Railroad? The Alaska Railroad purchase and operation is covered in here. What are we going to do about the Aklutna water system for Anchorage? That is covered in here. What are we going to do about resolving the power projects? My understanding that is covered in here. So a good many of the things, the large items, are covered in here. There's a whole host of small things that, one of them, my understanding is, the reprogramming of some money for the Anchorage International Airport. That is in here. That's a sample of one of the things. But there's a whole host of projects that we have brought to the legislature's attention over the past year, and it is my understanding that some, not all of them, are in here. And not having read the entire bill, I can't respond entirely to your question, sir.
Thank you very much.
Gibson Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're spending a lot more money than I could probably count in one night here. And looking at the appropriations, if indeed we are not exceeding the spending limit, then our problems, I guess, are minimized. But if we are exceeding the spending limit, seems to me that there are several options and that we've discussed. One is the possible veto of projects to bring it down to the spending limit. And if that is a route not selected to go, then that means that projects would then be presented before the voters. And since these are all tied into a one bill, would the entire bill be then brought before the voters, or would projects be selected to be presented to the voters?
Mr. Chairman, this was one of the unresolved issues of the spending limit. How does one bring projects to the voters? I can only say that at the time the spending limit was passed, I think there was an assumption that projects, capital projects, to be brought before the voters would be brought much in the format of a similar to a general obligation bond bill. In other words, a bill would be constructed in such a way that it would go to the voters as a bill. I do not believe there is any authority that the governor has to pick and choose from this bill and decide which items should go to the public.
Mr. Chairman, I guess if I can continue, if the governor were to select those projects, you know, that would go before the voters, I'm sure that there would be much controversy. So probably the only other solution would be that the legislature come back in a special session and identify those particular projects. I suppose that the question that still remains with me is, you know, is who is going to make that selection, and you know, if indeed how that process evolves. And of course, as it does progress on through, I know a number of these projects are projects that were basically intended to try, you know, to get online quickly. And I'm not quite sure. I remember the terminology for the spending limit. Does a spending limit question have to come before the voters during a primary election or the general election, or it could be one or the other?
Mr. Chairman, again, this is Representative Zaro. This is not a resolved issue. I can only assume that if it were treated like a general obligation bond measure, and it's set out somewhat similar to that, it would go before the voters at the general election. But I would reiterate, I don't believe the governor has any authority to select items from this bill, so I think your first assumption is correct, that were such a bill to be crafted, it would either be done now or in a special session. But I'm not aware of any vehicle that we would have to simply lay appropriations before the public.
Mr. Chairman, just one more. There is some concern there that I've had that a number of projects have been identified as we've gone through this session because of the nature of the session, the way it's gone there, and the final compromises that have taken place. Certain pieces of legislation and funding appropriations were made hinging upon either the passage or the appropriations being made available to a certain amount or the lack of that funding. And I guess I'm a little concerned there that if some of these projects are delayed until the general election, then it could be too late. And, possibly the railroad, as an example, or the four dam pool projects. I guess I really didn't ask a question. I just made a statement. I don't know. It's kind of hard for you to respond to that, I guess. But I think that as long as we're under the spending limit, I think everything is fine. But once we've exceeded the spending limit, which that concern has been expressed, that a number of these other questions begin to fall in line very quickly, and some action is going to have to be taken, I think, on a very short-term basis.
So further questions? Representative Duncan.
Mr. Chairman, one more question. Mr. Hogan, you haven't looked at the bill, but you're familiar enough with it, I'm sure you can answer this, because these sections have been in other bills before. I don't want you to speak to the merit of the appropriations, but we'd like to get your opinion on the advisability of the method of appropriation. And that's on Section 311 of this bill, which brings in a new animal, one that we haven't used before in the legislature, and that of continuing appropriations for power cost assistance and for the Sitting River Hydroelectric Project and for Bradley Lake. And says that on July 1st of each fiscal year, a certain amount will be appropriated automatically or continually, I guess, it's continuing appropriation for those three projects. Not that I'm in opposition to the projects necessarily. I think the power cost equalization is a good program. Could you give your feeling on the advisability of using that type of an appropriation process, whether you think it would meet a constitutional challenge, and what impact that might have on the governor's flexibility in future sessions, as well as the legislative discretion in appropriation? Is this really, in your opinion, what the Constitution intended as far as appropriating money goes?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Duncan, we don't have very many continuing appropriations. I think there are only two that I am aware of currently on the books. One is for debt service, general obligation bond debt service, and the other, I believe, was for the native claims payments in the latter year. But those are, to the best of my knowledge, the only two continuing appropriations that we have. It is an unorthodox approach, but it is one that probably is of most concern to the legislature. You are the appropriating body, and whether or not the legislature chooses to make a continuing appropriation is really a matter for it to decide.
Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Hogan is right. A couple points on that. There are two continuing appropriations, debt service and native claims,
yes, sir.
But they're entirely different. For example, debt service, Mr. Chairman, is based on the fact that the voters of this state had approved bond issues in a certain amount, and that debt service has to be paid, so there's no question about it. Native claims, of course, based on a federal act, I guess, again, where there's very little question. Mr. Chairman, you probably aren't interested in this, but there's several reasons. Vice Chairman must not be interested either, but there are several reasons why I'm going to oppose this bill, and this is one of them. Continuing appropriations, in my mind, was not intended by the people who wrote the Constitution. I mean, that's, if it's not a dedication of revenues, it's the closest thing you can get to a dedication of future revenues and the binding of future legislatures. I think that the Constitution gave the power of appropriation to the legislature and did not expect that we should have to utilize the power of unappropriation. For example, the only way we can stop this appropriation in future years is to unappropriate it. And that is not what they intended. And of course, the real problem is that if we want to unappropriate this money to Susitna or to Bradley Lake, we can do it with 21 votes as long as the governor agrees. But if the governor doesn't agree that we should unappropriate that money, he can veto our statute and it's going to take 45 votes. So we've got the closest thing to a constitutional dedication of funds that we can have without a constitutional amendment. And, you know, it doesn't cease to amaze me how fertile the minds get in the last days of a legislative session, but this is a complete, complete disregard for what the Constitution intended for the appropriation process. And I would, for one, hope that somewhere out there in the general public there's somebody who will take it upon themselves to challenge this type of appropriation, because I think in a court of law it's very questionable, and I think it could be challenged successfully. I think the legislature is making a real mistake, because we're taking away our discretionary powers in future years. We're giving, I think, a bigger lever to the governor, because as long as he wants those appropriations to continue, they'll continue. And secondly, we're appropriating $100 million for the next 7 years to a project that probably won't get FERC licensing according to the latest report. And according to Senator Stevens, if he gets it through Congress, he'll be performing a miracle. It doesn't make any sense.
Mr. Hogan, is it not true that the governor is supporting the major capital funds, but those particular capital projects are unknown, and that this particular way is that the legislature is telling him that these are the particular projects that will be funded?
That's a possible conclusion, yes, sir.
Is that correct? Okay. Then you support this?
In all honesty, Mr. Chairman, I have not checked this method out with the governor.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Furness and Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a number of questions. One is section... Well, actually, let me go to the bottom, the back section. 312, there is a sum of $5.5 million appropriated to the city of Seward to Davis Creek intertie and electrical system. Could you give a little background on as to what that appropriation is for? On page 47 of the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have the backup on that bill. I heard it discussed briefly earlier. I can certainly get that and give it to the chairman, but I don't have that with me.
Is that by chance money is to take the power into the potential prison site and sue it?
I think it certainly could be. I'm just not familiar with that project.
It's not important.
Would you like the backup, Representative Furness? Would you provide that, please?
Yes, sir.
The other, Mr. Chairman, probably to the chair, to Mr. Hogan, 285 is $80,000 appropriated to the Pledge of Fares for the operation of the Code of Vision Commission. It was my understanding that was to be zeroed out this year. Is there a change of thinking on that?
Yes, there is some change of thinking on the code revision. There's on the statute there to keep it going for one more year.
The other one is Section 29, $171,500 to pay for additional cost of reappropriation, reapportionment. Can you give us a little background as to what is happening there, why the additional monies?
Mr. Chairman, there was a great deal of money spent by the division to prepare various scenarios for elections that they came to that. In the original budget preparation submitted for FY85, Representative Furness, there was no anticipated cost of a reapportionment board or the expenses of reapportionment. And that is the basis of the supplemental. I have some correspondence here that gives the explanation. Printing of voter registration cards, polling place cards, election maps, so on.
I'll yield to my colleague, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Representative Markins?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion, if I may. I'd like to draw the members' attention to Section 140.
Section
189 and 190, and I'd like to ask the staff if she could pass out for us, please, the amendment I'd like to propose. What we have here, Mr. Chairman, I agree with the gentleman from Juneau that maybe there is some unnecessary expenditures here, and that if we're going to cut, that perhaps the legislators would be thoughtful enough to cut their own part of the pie before they cut necessary services of children. This amendment, sir, I'd like to move that we change as the wording that's being passed out for Section 140, 189, and 190. In short, it would delete about $3 million that is set aside for political contributions that were not used in previous years. And you notice, sir, the date of this deletion, the amendment is June 30, 1984, whereas in the program here, someone wisely extended that money that's not really needed to 1987 in Section 189, and $3 million extended to June 30, 1988. Now, that's certainly unnecessary money, sir, and I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we delete those political contributions.
Is there objection on that motion?
Objection.
There's objection.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hilbert on the motion?
I still didn't get all that.
I was talking to him.
We'll have a 2 minute of these here to go. This is a
matter. Carry on.
Would House Finance please come to order? You want all the members here? You're missing your member.
Yeah. Well, I think a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Where we left out, there was an amendment offered by Representative Marting that was passed out. We have two members missing.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if staff, while I explained the point here, that another asphalt could down up the other two members.
Jana?
Mr. Chairman, during the break that we had, it was asked where did this money come from, and I think I have to go back into a little history. When we repealed the personal income tax, it was intended that we would rebate the people who paid taxes in 1978 and 79. And since that time, we once extended it from 1981 to April the 15th, 1984, so that this money is virtually just excess money that's been laying around. Someone, somewhere or other, spotted this and thought that it would be a good move to reappropriate this money for allowing for the 1984, 86, and up to 1988 political contributions. But I think that's the wrong intent of what the money was meant for in the first place. And I think that we should not, if we're real tight with money, the first thing we should be willing to do is sacrifice the money that goes into our own political campaign coffers. So, therefore, I ask, it should be about, with those three amendments, or those three sections, it'd be about $8 million saving. And I'm sure the gentleman from Juneau would be glad that we decreased it a little bit if he's concerned about overrunning the appropriations available.
Is there any debate? Representative Gusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we were dealing with this in Finance Subcommittee, Department of Revenue, we took $600,000 out of general funds because and extended the lapse dates because they had roughly $5.3 million left in there. And looking at this amendment, Section 140, I see you added the child care specifying.
Yes, sir.
But then if you use Sections 189 and 190, because they're tied in, you'd be lapsing the total amount, thus there would be no money in there for child care credits.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, the difference there is that specifically the child care provision was mentioned in Section 140. And if there is need, and the department suspect that there may be some pending claims that were filed properly as of April 15, 1984, for the child credits in that pass. So we don't mind the money, or at least I personally don't mind the money being used for child care. We did, I personally did, and others are concerned about those monies being used for political contributions. As you know, Mr. Chairman, that most legislators use the provision of child care as the emotional appeal to keep the law in force when the real idea of this whole law is for our political coffers.
Chairman?
Yes.
Well, on the Section 189, you have lapsing of the general funds in June 30th, 1984.
Yes, sir.
Now, the way the Attorney General has ruled on that particular thing earlier in relation to child care credits and the political contributions is that anybody that files a claim on that would receive it. You've tried to specify it by 140, Section 140, but Section 189 and Section 190 don't make sense because you knock out the balance, so you kill basically both programs.
Tim?
Yes.
No other comments, Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, what makes very much sense is that we can't quit using the phony emotional excuse of child care when that is a very small aspect of reimbursement to people. The major idea of this whole law is for people to use state revenue monies that we don't have for education, that we don't have for poor people, that you don't have for feeding people in your Pioneer Center. You'd rather give it to your own political contributions. If that's what you want to make it, tell the people we saved $8 million for political contributions. We're sorry we didn't have enough for your schools.
No further debate?
Yes.
Time out. No further debate on it. The amendment you have before you is delete 140, 189, and 190. We'll have a roll call vote, please.
Adams?
No.
Bennettworth?
No.
Duncan?
No.
Fritz?
Yes.
Furness?
Yes.
Grusendorf?
No.
Hurlburt?
Yes.
Lindauer?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Zara?
No.
The motion is adopted. That section is deleted. Is there further amendments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative.
I have a technical amendment here.
Yes.
In the drafting here, the
in the drafting error?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'd like to move it.
Yes. What you're doing is just going from DOT to municipal grant.
Municipal grant.
That's fine. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, so ordered. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion to move out the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 49.
I've got an amendment, but there's another amendment in the packet.
Did you
amend the packet?
No, that's not. Let's throw that away.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This one was on a separate one, too, and it's to delete Section 50, which goes along with the same thing.
Yeah.
You moved them both?
I moved them both.
Okay.
You got a page, I've got an amendment.
No objection, that's not good.
No.
At this time, the chair will move. Representative Lindauer, did you have an amendment?
I have an amendment. I actually have two amendments to them.
Mr. Chairman.
What section are these?
Page 40 and 41.
Yes,
this would be of the...
what section is
of the rules committee? This would be...
page numbers don't show up.
Representative Lindauer, would you move your amendment so we can have debate on it, please?
Okay, I move my amendment and ask unanimous consent.
You have amendment number 3. Is there objection?
Objection.
Which sections are they?
Where are we at on this?
That's section 267, page 40 of the original rules version, which is the same under this revised version. Mr. Chairman, on debate.
Yes.
This is moving money in Anchorage. Moving it from community college contracts to University of Alaska Anchorage generally for the purpose of part-time employment. They're both represented by the same union. One is short.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I understand what you're doing, and I see the section. However, I'm not sure it applies just to Anchorage.
No. It's statewide.
What section is it?
Statewide.
267.
Most of those, Mr. Chairman, are Anchorage Community College.
Well, it is also...
Is there any debate on the... Representative Duncan?
I don't know what the percentage is, but there's also university teachers elsewhere in the state that are represented by...
Mr. Chairman?
ACFT, I think.
Roll call vote, please, on amendment number 3.
Adams.
No.
Bennettworth.
No.
Duncan.
No.
Fritz.
No.
Furness.
No.
Grusendorf.
No.
Hurlburt.
No.
Lindauer.
Yes.
Martin.
No.
Ward.
No.
Zara.
Amendment number 3 has failed. Did you have another one?
Yeah, I have another amendment.
Well, let's just vote on it.
Yes, we got one by Bennettworth there.
What number you want to call that?
Amendment number 4.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would move amendment number 4. It has to do, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
For the members, it has to do with funding for Senate Bill 461. It was debated extensively today in the transfer of these legislation. This fell out, and we're putting it back in to fund that bill. It was passed by the House today.
Yeah. What happened was the appropriation for Senate Bill 461 was inverted. They left out, and this particular would take it up for the minors there.
Mr. Chairman, I object.
Sir,
what is the...
Object.
You object?
Yeah, I guess...
I don't have a copy.
I mean, I understand what the amendment is, and I'm not sure it may be a good program. I guess the bottom line is we're adding another $3 million to an already over-expended
I guess it doesn't make any difference anymore.
It's a matter of opinion, whether we're over or not.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Debate?
Debate.
If we can't put in a reappropriation, primarily within my community, reappropriate $1 million, it's a little difficult for me to see how we can spend $3 million to help what on the floor today is either 400 people in this state or 800 people in this state engaged in plaster mining to get a grant from the state, not even a loan, just a plain grant to go out and buy equipment. Just adding $3 million to run this excess or shortage or whatever we have. Priorities here, just somewhere else, I guess. You gotta vote against this.
Roll call vote, please.
Ask?
Yes.
Fesworth?
Yes.
Duncan?
No.
Chris?
Yes.
Furness?
Yes.
Grubendorf?
Yes.
Hurlburt?
Yes.
Lindauer?
No.
Martin?
No.
Ford?
Yes.
Zara?
No.
Amendment number 4 is adopted. Amendment number 5, Reverend Lindauer?
I'll move the action as potential amendment number 5.
Object.
There's objection.
Mr. Chairman, all this does is takes, we've had all kinds of discussions about whether we could transfer funds once they've been appropriated for one thing, just blindly push them into something else. We've repealed and transferred for the purpose of moving it over. The administration last year was dead set against this. The public seems to be dead set against this. We probably shouldn't be engaged in spending hundreds of millions of dollars without having an adequate look at some of these things. We are concerned about having excessive spending. This merely puts this money into the general fund and then moves right on into the permanent fund, which would allow us to come within the spending limits, cut the state spending, and put this money where it would be nice and safe and sound.
Is there a debate?
Can Mr. Chairman, there's amendment set to do it?
Just ask. Is there a debate? Representative
Mr. Chairman, I have a clarification, really. Representative Lindauer, I'm having trouble. Do these match the current
these are from the Rules Committee. These sections are the same. Sections 166, 167, they're based on the Rules Committee. We didn't have this until the very last minute. We didn't have the latest finance version of the chairman there in the last minute. But these sections, the funds in those sections, instead of being transferred for reappropriation, are being put back in the general fund and placed in the permanent fund.
Well, the reason why I ask is that, like, in 166, we're asking for money that's already been appropriated for the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and that it's being transferred to the Department of Natural Resources for the Division of Parks and Recreation in that same area. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's the same thing, they're just reappropriating it in that particular section. 167 is the University of Alaska transfer to the Department of Natural Resources. Before I could vote on it, it seemed like to me that they're legitimate, they're not new monies. New monies I'm concerned about, but
I'm just
things here.
Mr. Chairman, in response to Representative Martin, I didn't play any favorites whatsoever. I went through this, and where there were monies transferred from one use to another use, I instead transferred them by this amendment to the general fund for placement of the permanent fund, because it is a fundamental principle of whether we're going to just allow money to be transferred without any of the normal hearings and normal processes out of one thing into another thing. There are several projects in here which I understand have already been completed that we're transferring money into, and I have no doubt but what we'll be transferring them on next year into some other uses. And these ought to go through the normal process. They ought to go into the general fund, I think, on into the permanent fund, but if not, I have an amendment here just put in the general fund, and next year we can go through a normal process. They can come to this committee in a normal way, and we can appropriate the stuff normally. There's no reason to have this last minute hundreds of millions of dollars being shoveled all around the state.
Is there further debate,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Duncan.
Mr. Chairman, I was just going to explain. I'm going to maintain my objection to this. I think I agree with the intent of what Representative Lindauer is trying to do. I think we should be putting more money into the permanent fund. There's no doubt in my mind. This is not the way to do it. For one thing, he's picking and choosing appropriations, and there's probably two or three of these that are very worthy, at least. If he wants to put more money into the permanent fund, I'll surely support him on that by reducing the bill substantially.
Vote yes.
Across the board, or by helping him pass legislation to authorize more money to the permanent fund by the governor, but this doesn't do anything. And I think he knows it, so.
Representative Lindauer?
Debate, Mr. Chairman. Yes, it does. I keep hearing all these speeches about people who want money in the permanent fund. Here's your authorization to put it in. Here's money which the governor of this state has said should not be handled in this fashion, which the public has said, which the major media of this state has said, and which members, I believe, including yourself, have said on the floor, that we shouldn't just be pushing these things out of one into another without going through the normal processes. What's happening here is where people have been at the last 11th hour pulling money out of one use and putting it into another. I'm saying let's put it in the general fund and pass it on into the permanent fund. It's a matter of principle. The question is whether or not we're going to have proper processes or we're going to have these 11th hour excessive spending and transfers.
Gripps and Hilbert. Debate?
No, I'll pass it on.
Is there further debate? Roll call vote on amendment number 5, please.
Adams?
No.
Bedford?
No.
Duncan?
No.
Rich?
Yes.
Furnish?
Yes.
Rosendorf?
No.
Hurlburt?
No.
Lindauer?
Yes.
Martin?
No.
Ward?
No.
Zara?
No.
I've got one last amendment.
Would you have that passed around, sir?
Why are you making a squirm, Mr. Lindauer?
You guys say you're for the permanent fund as the good procedures? Chance?
You got an amendment for $300 million? That's the way I've got it.
Hey, I'll be better than
that. Yeah, at least one I gave you.
Wait, I've got an amendment to Representative.
On the amendment, Mr. Speaker. I'm Mr. Chair.
That's fine.
What this does is in those sections of the bill, those sections are identified there, the pages are on the Rules Committee version that we have originally.
Would you move amendment number 6?
Move and ask unanimous consent for amendment number 6.
Check.
Mr. Chairman.
Continue.
Where we have repeal.
Anything?
For appropriation, where it has been identified that the money is not needed and it is repealed, it merely puts that money, without playing favors across the board, every section where there was a repealer, it puts the money into the general fund so that it can be properly handed and handled and will be carried forward automatically in the next year as part of the surplus, but this will help ensure that we have, as opposed to having excessive capital spending. So it kills about 3 birds with 1 stone. It holds state budgets down so we don't have to worry about the dispute about having excessive spending. It allows us to have the appropriate procedures.
Adams?
No.
Bedford?
No.
Duncan?
No.
Yes.
Furness?
Yes.
Rosendorf?
No.
Hurlburt?
No.
Lindauer?
Yes.
Martin?
No.
Ward?
No.
Zara?
No.
Motion. Amendment number 6 fails. Is there any further amendments?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hurlburt?
I have another technical amendment. It's on page 13. I can just read it. It's page 13, or page 49, line 13. That should have been $1.5 million rather than $500,000.
Mr. Chairman, that's hardly technical.
What section are we talking about?
You'll have to trust me on that.
I think you've got a page 49.
What page was that? Would you move it?
I move the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I can vouch
for it. What section?
What is it for? Would you read the...
It's for Galena Schools, Elementary School Edition.
And what was the problem, Representative Hilbert?
Well, it lacked the 1 in front of the 5 there, I think.
What section? What page?
It's on page 49. Section. What section of the bill?
It's in the...
It's in this thing here in education.
Oh. Okay. I can see several other technical ones coming along.
I'm ready to debate this all night, but...
Galena School was that?
Galena.
Galena. Galena School, a city school. It's elementary school edition.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, for me, how do you know one should have been in there, sir?
Well, I haven't...
Matt said.
I know my senator tells me that. He must be right. I have no reason to doubt him, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion to move out House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 409, Finance, amended.
Your turn, Fred.
Chairman, I so move.
Is there any objections?
Sure.
There's objections. Roll call vote. Yes.
Bennett.
Yes.
Duncan.
No.
Fritz.
Yes.
Burns.
Yes.
Rosenberg.
Yes.
Halbert.
Yes.
Lindauer.
No.
Martin.
Yeah.
Ward.
Yes.
Zara.
No.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 449, Finance Amended, is moved out of committee. House Finance is adjourned.